Praise the Lord. You may be seated, and if you would, be so kind to open your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1. The book of James, chapter 1. And I'm going to talk to you about a very important subject today, and you'll see it very clearly, I believe, as the Spirit of the Lord reveals it to us. In verse 1, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy." Yeah. Somebody says, "Whoopee." "When you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Another way we could say it is this, that the trying of your faith exercises patience. Now, we all know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, but it's developed by exercising it. Everyone go like this. "I've got faith muscles. I'm working them out." You got patience muscles too. How you doing with that? Now, the next time you're tempted to be impatient, recognize it as an opportunity to work out. Amen. The next time you feel your flesh rising up on the freeway, watch out. You may be sitting next to that person in the same restaurant you're going to. Could mess your testimony up real quick. When they say you're praying, from going like this to praying, they're going to say something's wrong. But whether on the freeway, whether in the grocery store, how about at the airport? Whatever the case may be, practice this. One thing I say often when I'm driving, because you know, not everyone that's in the lane that they should be going the speed limit isn't. I mean, the speed limit may be like, you know, 45 and they're going like 15. And my natural flesh, he wants to get riled up and gun it. But what I'm doing is I'm practicing this. I'm practicing the love of God. What would love do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? How would he conduct himself at a restaurant when the meal was 30 minutes late? How would he conduct himself on the freeway? Well, here's what I've done. I'm adopting the love of God. I've just chosen to live my life in the love of God. Somebody says, "Do you always succeed?" Well, do you? Well, of course we don't always succeed, but how many of you know we're moving onward and we're moving upward? But one thing I like to say is this, what 1 Corinthians 13 says. The first part of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 in the Amplified says, "I endure long. I am patient. I am kind." Say this with me. I am due long.
I am patient.
I am patient.
I am kind.
Practice this. Because it's true, we don't have any more faith than we do patience.
Yeah, that's right.
And we want our faith to work, do we not?
Yes.
Notice verse 3, he says, "But let patience, endurance, perseverance have its perfect work." That what? You may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's James chapter 1 and verse 3. So let patience have her perfect work. One translation says, so that there'll be nothing missing and nothing lacking. Woo, glory, I like that. If we will let patience do a thorough work in our life, we'll get to a place where we're lacking nothing. Where we're happy. Where we've got what we need. In Hebrews 13 verse 14, I want you to notice this verse. If they could pull it up on the screen, it would be great. Hebrews the 3rd chapter and the 14th verse. Notice with me, it says, "For we are made partakers of" who? We're made partakers of Christ. Is that a good thing?
Yes.
But notice the condition. The condition is this. If we hold fast the beginning of our confidence for 5 minutes. No, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto what? Unto the end. So what he's saying here is, you know, we don't want just to have a good start. We also want to have a strong finish. I saw this quote earlier this morning, and I love it, by Peter Lowe. He says, the most common trait I have found in all successful people. Is that they have conquered the temptation to give up. They've conquered. Now, have you ever been tempted to give up? Let me see the hands of people who say to me, Pastor Mark, I've never been tempted to give up. And we will have a deliverance service right now. Lots of people get excited, but they don't last very long. Now, how many of you remember the parable of the sower? Now, the sower sows the word. And there were four different grounds that the seed of God's word went into. Four grounds. But if you'll study the word of God, you will see that only one of the grounds produced fruit. The first ground, I believe, was wayside ground. And wayside ground basically is this, that they heard the word and yet Satan came 3 months later. No, Satan came immediately to take away the word of God that was sown in their hearts. The next ground was stony ground. They endured for a time. But afterward, when affliction and persecution arose for the word's sake, immediately they were offended. And so affliction and persecution is designed to steal the word out of your heart. I got news for you. If you're breathing and you're a Christian, there will be affliction. If you're godly, there will be persecution. But the good news is this. Even though there are multiple afflictions, the Lord delivers you out of them all. Woo, glory to God. He's there to deliver you out of each and every one of them. The third ground was thorns. And the Bible says about thorns, where the word of God is sown, the cares of this life. The cares of this life. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to live? The cares of this life. What about my sons? What about my daughters? What about my grandchildren? The cares of this life. And then the deceitfulness of riches. How many of you know? You can be deceived by riches. And then the lusts of other things. The scripture says, enters in, and the word that was sown becomes unfruitful. But oh, thank God. Then there's the good soil. I said, then there's the good ground. Point to yourself and say, I'm good ground. Look at your neighbor and say, you're good ground. Lift your voice up and say, we are all good ground. Good ground. Good ground. Good ground. That means where the word of God is sown and enters in, and they hear it, and they receive it, and they believe it, and they bring forth fruit. Some 30. Some 60, and some 100-fold. I like how the Amplified says it in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Let's look at that. Luke 8, 15 says, for as for that seed in the good soil, these are the people who, hearing the word, hold fast and in a just and noble, virtuous and worthy heart, steadily bring forth fruit with aggravation. No. They bring forth fruit with frustration. No, they bring forth fruit with what? Patience. They bring forth fruit with patience. So it's not really a word problem, is it? It's a heart problem. And we know over in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, it says that you be not slothful or you be not lazy. Be not slothful. Be not lazy. But followers of them who through faith and patience. Kenneth Copeland said many years ago, faith and patience are the power twins. Who through faith and patience, they're inheriting the promises. Brenda and I want to live our lives and carry ourselves in ministry to be an example of perseverance. And we didn't get this on our own. I got this by following very closely certain men of God. I got it through following Brother Caseman. I got it through following Brother Hagen. And I got it through following Pastor Hagen. They are prime examples of men who didn't quit. Regardless of the circumstances, they were there on a sunny day. They were there on a cloudy day. They were there on an up day. They were there on a down day. Everyone say, through faith and patience, as I follow those, I will inherit the promises. Now notice verses 13 through 15. Let's read this together. Verses 13 through 15. We've talked about Abraham quite a bit in this congregation. In verse 13, let's read together. Ready, read. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I'm going to multiply you. Read verse 15. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now this promise to him become the father of many nations was at around the age of 70 years old, in the 70s. God showed him the stars in the sky, and he said, so shall your seed be. But it was 25 years before he was born. Just kept getting older and older. But something happened. I said, something happened. Remember, he didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't consider his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And as a result of that, God got right in the midst of their bodies and quickened them. Amen. And one day, Abraham's in the tent, and he says, hey, baby. I'm 100 years old. His natural forces were not abated. And they came together, and she conceived, and laughter was born. I said, laughter was born. I said, laughter was born. That's what Isaac's name was. His name was Laughter. But I guarantee you, before laughter was born, there was some rejoicing before he was born. And before you get your laughter to be born, you got to learn to rejoice, hallelujah, when it don't look good, when it don't feel good, when it doesn't seem like it'll ever come to pass. At destruction and at famine, you can rejoice. Woo! Glory to God. Oh. Whew, something happened to their bodies. And after 25 years, it came to pass. You know what would help us greatly? It would help us to see time the way that God sees time. There's a scripture over in Peter where it says in 1-2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. What this saying is, 1,000 years to the Lord is like one day that's passed. If that's so, and we read it, who's seeing it right? Is God seeing it right? Or are we seeing it right? God is seeing it right. Understand this. that if you live to be 100 years old in God time, it's like 2.4 hours. If you're 50 today and you live to be 100, and I hope you do, you got about an hour left. That's the way God sees it. Is that right? You see, people in heaven are perceiving time like he does. I mean, if you have loved ones that have passed away 20 years ago. My brother Tim was 54 years old when he passed away. Tim and I were buddies. Where Tim went, Mark went. Unless Tim said, "You ain't going today." But I followed my big brother. I love my brother, and I still love my big brother. How you doing up there, Tim? God bless you. But you know what? He was too young. And if I live another 30, 40 years, whatever the case may be, and I go to heaven, he's going to look up and say, "You here already? Are you here already?" Ooh, glory to God. That's how God views time. So the question would be, is how long did Abraham stand between the amen and the here it is? About 36 minutes. A year would be about 1.5 minutes. Here's the question I got for you today. Can you trust God for 25 years? Can you trust God in the midst of your situation for 30 minutes? God time. I'm telling you what, you can if you will. Someone say, "I can because I will." Refuse to be clock-minded. Refuse to be moved by time. We're moved by His Word. We're moved by His goodness. Hebrews 10:35. Man, you listen so good. We'll be done by 6:30. Hebrews 10:35. I better not say that because you know you can have what you say. Hebrews 10 verse 35. Let's read it together. Ready? Please read. "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward." The Amplified says, "Don't fling away your fearless confidence." The Message says, "Don't throw it all away now. You are sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing. But you need to stick it out. Staying with God and staying with His plan so you'll be there for the promise completion." Folks, it pays to stay in there and not quit. Read verse 36 with me. "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the..." In other words, after you've released your faith, after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. How do we get there? We get there through faith, and we get there through patience. Amen? Now notice in verse 37, he says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." How many of you know sometimes those little whiles seem like a long time? And that's why God gave us patience. Now look at Romans chapter 5. Romans the 5th chapter. We're getting good word today. Yes. We're exercising our faith. We're exercising our patience. Romans 5 verses 1 through 3 says, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand..." Now notice this next phrase. "And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Verse 3. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." That's our text. "Count it all joy." We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation, what does it work? It exercises patience. It gives it a workout. That's how it develops. But notice in verse 4, it's not the end of the story. Read verse 4 with me. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And patience, the next thing that comes is experience. Oh, I like that. The experience is the proof. The experience is the results. And because you've seen results, how many of you have seen results time and time again? How many of you have seen God show up and show out sure enough? Woo, glory to God. I mean, you've seen God do what naturally people said he could never do. You've seen the faithfulness of God. You've seen the goodness of God. You've seen God move in the realm of the Spirit and in your life, glory to God. Has he done anything good for you? Has he brought you through the valley of the shadow of death? Has he brought you through the storms of life and brought you to the other side? Has God done it or has he not done it? He has done it and he will do it again and again and again. Because he is a God who is faithful. He is a God who's looking after you. He's watching after his word to perform it. Woo! You are on his mind. So let's get him on our mind. And let's not forget all that he's done. Yes, and then let's with hope have a confident expectation that he's working on it now. Yes, and it won't be long before it shows up in my life. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Glory to God. I like that, don't you?
Yes.
In other words, you've seen it happen and you're expecting it to happen again. Amen? It'd be good to journal those things that God has done.
Yes.
So when your current day, you can look back when things don't look good and say, ah, he did this. He did this. You see, for men, as men look at things, it's impossible. The way men look at situations, their attitude is, you know, it just can't be done. But you know what? We're not with men, we're with God. You got to determine who you're which. I said, you got to determine who you're with. I'm with God. I'm not aligned with man's ideas. I'm not aligned with man's philosophies. I'm not aligned with what they say can't be done. We know that man says it can't be done. You see, with men, all things are impossible, but not with God. I said, not with God. God will never tell you it can't be done, but he will tell you, son, it's been done. It is finished. It can be done again and again in your life. Woo, hallelujah. With God. With God, Raul. All things are possible there in the Philippines. With God, Andre. All things are possible there in Oakland. Woo, glory to God. I like to shout. Somebody says, yeah, things aren't really going well on the job. Men are saying this and men are saying that. But what does God say? What is God saying to you? My God says, I'll meet your need regardless of the economy, regardless of your 401, regardless of your 403B, regardless of Wall Street, regardless of who's in office, I'll meet your need. And I will do it according to my riches. Woo, in glory. By Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It can be done. And it will be done. Amen? Now notice verse 5. Let's read that together. And hope maketh not ashamed. One translation says, your hope will not disappoint. Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Now notice verse 2 again. If you wouldn't mind up there, just pull it back to verse 2 for a moment. We want to spend just a little bit of time on this. Now notice it says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, biblical Bible hope is not wishful thinking. It's not, well, you know, I sure hope so. Bible hope is a joyous or a joyful, confident expectation. It is the product of faith. Why would you have a joyous, confident expectation? Why? Because you believe something. And you're persuaded of something that you have seen in the Word of God. Now look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Look at this scripture. Man, this one is loaded. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith. How many of you know that faith is always now? Faith is present tense. So he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, I looked up that word substance yesterday from Thayer's, and the word substance literally means a foundation that is firm. So what he is saying is this: the Word of God is your substance. It is your firm foundation.
Amen.
It is your firm foundation of what? It is my firm foundation of things that I am joyfully and confidently expecting. If I believe Philippians 4:19, that he meets my needs. If you believe 1 Peter 24, which says, by his stripes you were healed. If you believe that and you receive that, that puts you in a state of expectation. And what does that expectation look like? You're expecting your body to change. You are not disassociating yourself from the vision that the Word of God has given you. You're not detaching from the picture of healing. You're giving your attention to it. And along with giving your attention to it, you are fully expecting your body to change. Same thing with finances. Same things with your loved ones coming in. You're expecting your needs to be met. You're expecting your loved ones to be saved. I'm doing better preaching than you are shouting. Real faith is the foundation that expectation stands on. If I'm persuaded, and if I'm in faith, I'm persuaded of something based on the Word. And I'm joyfully and confidently expecting it to happen. And I'm happy about it. And so I don't really have to wait till it knocks on my door to get happy. It may be 3 blocks away. Woo, but door knocking time's coming. Delivery time's coming. So what I'm going to do while it's still 3 blocks away, I'm going to thank God. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I'm not going to allow myself to quit. I'm not going to allow myself to lose heart. I'm not going to grow weary in well-doing. Because my due season is on its way. Hallelujah. It's your due season. It's your due season. Whatever you've been sowing, you're going to reap. Somebody says, well, Pastor Mark, I've been sowing the wrong things. Well, hey, repent. Judge yourself. Like someone said years ago, pray for crop failure. Another person said it this way, admit it and quit it. God can turn your situation around and cause those wrong seeds that have been sown to have crop failure. Yeah. If you will have an open and honest heart. Amen. Whew, man, that's good preaching. Gets kind of quiet when you talk about stuff like that. Now notice Romans 12:11. It says here, not lazy in business. Not slothful in business. You know, I think working out of the home can be a good thing, but it also can be a very bad thing. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Not slothful in business. Too many people have had their eyes on their government for their check, and that's why they checked out of working. But you know what? The Bible says, no worky, no eaty. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't be eating. I heard the organ on that one. That was good. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Now read verse 12 with me, please. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. One translation says, let your hope keep you joyful. And what that does, it keeps you out of frustration and out of growing weary. You know, God's not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he not said, shall he not do it? Hath he not spoken, and shall he not make it good? Absolutely. You can count on the word of your heavenly Father. Now, I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And my dad grew up in a small town in Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, called Cumberland, Wisconsin. And my dad grew up in a four-level hotel. It was not the Ritz. It was built in the 1800s. And I want to show you a picture. I almost brought the frame with me today. But I thought, man, I don't want the usher to drop that. I should have snapped a picture and sent it to Jane. It was a wonderful, wonderful hotel. My grandfather and grandmother owned it for many, many years in northern Wisconsin. And the scene was pine trees all around it. And the backdrop of it was Beaver Dam, which was a beautiful lake. And that's where my dad grew up. And so my brother Tim and I, remember Tim? Yes. We'd get so excited. Because my dad would let us know, maybe on Monday or Tuesday, hey, Tim, Mark, we're going to Cumberland and we're going to stay at the hotel I grew up in. Now, that may not excite you, but it really excited us because when we got there, we had our own rooms. I mean, I got the lean on when I was 5 years old. I'm telling you. You can stay in your own room. So we had our own rooms in this big place, and you could explore all over the hotel. I mean, it was awesome. And then he would say, and guys, we're going to go to the Bona Casa. And the Bona Casa was an Italian restaurant where it was family style. You know what family style means? It means full gospel. It means banquet time. They brought the ravioli, they brought the spaghetti, they brought the meatballs, they brought the sausage, and they brought the pizza pie. I mean, and so we're going to Cumberland, and we're going to stay in our own room, and we're going to the Bona Casa. Woo, hallelujah. And so my point is this. On Monday, my brother and I would so look forward to Saturday. Great expectation. And on Tuesday, we'd just flat get pumped up because Saturday's coming.
Amen. It's coming. Glory to God.
Saturday is just around the corner. Saturday is coming. And folks, if we can trust the word of a man, if we can trust the word of an earthly father, how much more? I said, how much more? How much more can we trust the word of our heavenly Father? He's not a man that he should lie. Woo, glory to God. And I'm telling you this morning that it may only be Tuesday for you before your manifestation comes. It may only be Wednesday, but the word of the Lord this morning is Saturday is coming. So keep holding fast. Keep rejoicing. Keep expecting. Because your Saturday manifestation is on its way. Do you receive that today? Somebody say, I believe it and I receive it. You know you're doing really, really good when you're full of joy and full of peace and you are just abounding in hope. I mean, hope's on the inside, but it's overflowing. There's just a joyful expectation. That's what Romans 15:13 says. Let's read it together. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. Woo, glory to God. Abounding in hope. Not annoyed. Not aggravated. Not frustrated. How many of you know your flesh will want to get aggravated? You'll be tempted to say, what's the use? I'm throwing in the towel. We can't afford that. What do you say? Let's stay in faith. Let's stay in joy. Let's stay in hope. And let's stay in the peace of God. Last scripture, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Did you wear a shouting clothes today? I know you're doing pretty good shouting, but this is a shouting church. And it's good to know what you're shouting about. You know, you don't want to come to church. All they do is shout and dance and run around the building, but they don't know what they're shouting and dancing and running about. We know what we're running about. We know what we're rejoicing about. Woo! He has done great things. Amen. He has done great things and will do even greater things. Amen. Isaiah 40, verse 31. And if you're not saved today, let me tell you something. Jesus loves you. And he's here today to change your life. If you're watching me online today, know this and understand this, that you're not watching by accident today. If you're visiting for the first time, you're not here by accident. If you're visiting for the second or third time, you are here by divine appointment. And God's got his appointment book open. And he's got his book of life open today. And he wants to know that your name is in it. Friend, now is the day of your deliverance. Now is the day of your salvation. So we're going to pray in just a couple of minutes. Are you ready? Yes. Say with me, I'm ready, ready, ready. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Notice the first part of this verse. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord, they're going to get tired, irritated, and exasperated. No, they that wait upon the Lord, whoo, glory to God, they shall renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to run and not be weary. They're going to walk and not faint. That word wait there is expect. Those who expect. Those who linger. Those who look for the Lord. Hallelujah. Shall renew their strength. So what happens as a result of that? That happens. What happens is we're not wearing out. We're picking up steam. Because his presence and his joy and his hope is renewing me day by day. Amen. The Young's Little translation of that says, those who expect the Lord. Are you expecting the Lord?
Yes.
Are you expecting good things in your family?
Yes.
Are you expecting good things in your body?
Yes.
Are you expecting good things in your mind? How many of you are expecting good things in your finances?
Amen.
Now notice with me, in the YLT, Young's Literal Translation, it says, but those expecting Jehovah, what happens to those expecting Jehovah? They will pass to power.
Yeah.
Somebody says, that's an interesting statement. I have no idea what it means. Well, I believe the Lord gave me some insight when I was in Arizona about this. When you wait on the Lord, not only will you experience a renewal of your strength, and we need renewed strength, don't we? I mean, like every day. You know, the outward man is decaying, but the inward man is what? The inward man, Vern, is what? It's being renewed day by day. Woo, glory to God. But now notice, when I, in you and I, wait on the Lord, not only does it come an exchange of our strength for His strength, but in that and because of that, it's like we are empowered to pass through anything that would try to detract our lives. We pass through by glorious breakthrough to the power of God. Woo, glory to God. Somebody says, well, I'm going through it right now, but your attitude should be, I'm passing through. I said, I'm passing through. I'm passing through to breakthrough. I'm passing through to manifestation. Glory to God. No, 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 no. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm just passing through. I'm on my way to the other side. I'm going up stronger. I'm going up higher. I'm renewing my strength like the eagles. Oh, stand up, everybody. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, raise a hand toward heaven and say, Father, I believe things are lining up. And I believe that things are happening for me, for my church, for my family, that doesn't necessarily happen to others. I'm joyfully, I'm confidently expecting. Whoo, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I can feel your excitement in the house. And we should be excited. We should be excited. The joy of the Lord should be something that is evident in every one of our lives. Praise God.